Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This 2021 season is full of high rollers with deep pockets who will let it ride. Football 21, a game of blackjack.
Here's the kick. It's got the distance. It's got the distance, and it is good!
Will the future Hall of Famers still be aces?
Rodgers in the shotgun, takes the snap, lofts it over the right side. Devontae, over the shoulder, catch, got it!
And fresh-faced upstarts beat the house.
Murray flushed out of the pocket. Being chased. He talks and he heads to the corner. And he's into the end zone for the touchdown.
We're doubling down.
This is very, very real.
It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A. Only on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Sunday morning to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us on this fine wild card weekend. We appreciate you dropping on by. And as always, we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. Coming your way this hour here on the show, we'll go inside the NFL wildcard weekend with the insiders, including the coaching ranks. Did the Giants make the right move, pulling the plug on Joe Judge? Could Jim Harbaugh be coming out of the college game to head into the NFL? And how about the new head coach at Oregon, Dan Lanning, after winning a national championship at Georgia earlier in the week? Not everybody thinks he's a great fit for the Ducks. It's all coming up this morning, plus Amal Shah, our Vegas virtuoso, in hour number two of Sunday Morning Football. And you can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network on hundreds of affiliates nationwide. Thanks to each and every one of them for carrying us here each and every Sunday as we break down football from both a college perspective and an NFL perspective. And we'll continue right through Super Bowl Sunday. You can also listen to us on SiriusXM 158, plus on the apps, either the CBS Sports app or the Odyssey app. You can listen to us. Both are free. Both carry Sunday Morning Football and the rest of CBS Sports Radio as well. Or tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Have us on around the house. Well, last night in Orchard Park, freezing temperatures, nervous Bills fans. Belichick had got him so many times. But early on, in fact, of the first two drives of the game, it was readily apparent. The Patriots didn't have something the Bills did. A star quarterback. We start things off by coming in hot.
2-1, you've got a pair of bogeys, 12 o'clock.
30 plus years of service. Only man to shoot down three enemy planes in the last 40 years.
Attention, air control. Someone tell DA he's coming in hot.
Uh-huh. The end is inevitable, Maverick. You're kind of headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir, but not today.
Josh Allen finished the night with more touchdown passes than incompletions. 5 touchdowns thrown. 308 yards, just 4 passes that hit the ground. He had a quarterback rating of 157, nearly perfect. On the flip side, Mac Jones threw that interception on his first drive, granted a wonderful play by Micah Hyde to the end zone. But Mac finishes with two interceptions. He had the other one deflected and snared out of the air. Sacked three times as well. And that last touchdown certainly came in garbage time to make it 47-17. And at halftime, it was 27-3. And the game at that point was already over. While Mac Jones may have had a strong rookie season for much of it, the fact is he absolutely struggled down the stretch, as did the rest of the Patriots. When you look back at their final month of the season, and let's date back to December the 6th, that Monday nighter with 50-mile-an-hour winds when they were able to beat the Buffalo Bills 14-10. Let's go back to that game. You had Mac Jones throwing three passes in a win that night, then losing in Indianapolis the following week, then absolutely getting handled by the Bills' defense the following week in Foxborough, throwing for just 145, no touchdowns and two picks. He had the big game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, which, let's face it, who cares, and then loses to Tua and the Dolphins to finish out the regular season, and then gets pounded yesterday. Certainly, Mac Jones is responsible for defending Josh Allen. That Patriots defense and Bill Belichick's history of wonderful defensive adjustments got completely spun around. They were humiliated. They were clowned at the end of the game, leading by 30 points. The Bills were still throwing, which was the ultimate sign of disrespect. They knew they could do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, yesterday against that Patriots defense. So that's the first order of business. That Pats defense was garbage last night and down the stretch. But also, let's slow the roll on Mac Jones, because at the end of the season, he lost four of his final five starts, with his only win coming against the worst team in the NFL.
A couple of third and long pickups on this first drive for the Pats from the Buffalo 34. It's flip backs. He takes a shotgun snap. A four-man rush with a pop. A throw long down the left side on the stop and go for Aguilar. And it's intercepted.
What?
Picked off. Micah Hyde has it. Running down the right side. Hyde continues to New England territory, but they're going to rule that he was down in the end zone for a touchback.
Obviously, we didn't play how he wanted to play, and every game's different, and we didn't have a chance to win the game, and it starts with me, you know, just getting momentum early and not putting ourselves in that position. I do appreciate everybody on our team for having my back, and I wish I could have played better, and obviously, we want to win every game we play in, and hopefully, we'll get a chance, you know, to have a really good offseason and funnel it into next year.
So I appreciate Mac Jones saying those things, putting it on himself. Obviously, that defense was a huge problem. But what I saw last night on Patriots Twitter was this huge divide of don't blame Mac Jones, it's all on the defense. Future is bright, this is all about the defense. Then others saying, yeah, Mac Jones is bad, Mac Jones is mediocre, Mac Jones is overrated. Look, the two can coexist here. The Patriots don't lose four or five games down the stretch with their only win being a blowout of the garbage Jaguars without the defense being a problem and Mac Jones not being part of the solution. Last night, it was obvious. One team had a star at quarterback and one team didn't. Not saying Josh Allen was a finished product coming out of the womb, even coming out of Wyoming, certainly in his rookie season against or with the Bills. But we saw Joe Burrow last season step into the Bengals culture and very obviously change everything. We've seen players get their first snaps and you could see the stardom on them. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, right from Jump Street last year, Justin Herbert was clearly a star. Mac's none of those guys. And I think it's important for reality to set in New England. The supposedly great Patriots defense got gashed down the stretch. The Colts ran all over them. Josh Allen and the Bills carved them up twice. Even Tua and the Dolphins were able to beat them. That's a reality. But another reality is you don't have to coddle Mac Jones and act like everything's fine here. He had a great rookie season. There's nothing to see. The fact is that what you just witnessed last night was the single worst quarterback performance by a Patriots QB in 30 years of the playoffs. I mean, you've got to go well back before Drew Bledsoe to find something that ugly from the Patriots quarterback. Yes, the Pats defense was just gutted the entire night. But what you found out quickly was, and Mac ain't the guy to go strike for strike, blow for blow. He ain't the guy. That's for damn sure. Allen had no problem throwing in the cold. Clearly, the same wasn't the case for the other guy on the other sideline. That was as embarrassing a loss as Belichick has ever had, because it happened in the playoffs against a divisional opponent that had just done this to you a couple of weeks ago in your division, and it was the first perfect offensive game in NFL history. Let that sink in. No team had ever only scored touchdowns on every possession of their game. This is any game ever in the NFL. No team had ever not punted, not turned the football over, and only scored touchdowns. No field goals. The Bills did it last night until they knelt on the football in the final seconds. Wow. And against the greatest defensive mind arguably ever. That's humiliation. Coming up later on today, the Bucks and the Eagles from what should be a relatively sloppy field in Tampa Bay. Here's what has to happen. The Eagles have to run the football today more than 35 times to win.
Hurts in the gun. Slot to the far side. Motion. Hurts. Gives it off inside. And no, he keeps it. And he's running forward on a fake. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. He's in for the touchdown. What a fake. What a fake by Jalen Hurts.
You look at the stats. You look at where they are. You look at their defense. But you also want to do what you do well. And so, you know we've been running the ball well. And it just, it's a little different when Jalen's in there.
Plenty of times the tough guys that are tough, guys that are that have high character, high football character, and guys who love football are going to reach their ceiling. So I think you're just seeing it. You're seeing him grow closer and closer to his ceiling. And so, yeah, he's definitely better, and he's just going to continue to get better because of who he is as a person and as a player.
That's Nick Sirianni, obviously, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. They're big underdogs today when it comes to this game against the defending Super Bowl champs. I have a hard time believing that there's enough in the tank for the Eagles to pull this win off, although the Buccaneers are not invincible. They're not as good as last year. They're far more banged up. They have a bunch of weapons out of tonight's game, out of today's game. And I think that a long playoff run last year with a veteran roster has worn them down a little bit. At the same time, the Eagles don't have the firepower unless they run the football all day. Now, they're the best running team in all of the NFL. And so whether it's Jalen Hurts or their cast of running backs, this is about Sirianni and the Eagles' offensive line dedicated to the run. Run with Hurts, run with the running backs, shorten this game, limit possessions, and make this thing a gameplay to the teens or 20s. Because if it gets out of hand more than that, that's not where you want to be if you're Philadelphia. But if you can keep this a shortened game, keep Brady off of the field and control the line of scrimmage, you can keep this within striking distance. And that is a huge part of tonight's or today's game. I think that they can do it. I think they would have been better served if the weather was a little bit worse, but it looks like the rains are going to stay away for most of the afternoon. It looks like there's just a slight percent chance of rain throughout the day, 4 to 5% chance of some showers during game time, maybe up to 10% of showers coming up in the 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock window, which will be late in this game. However, winds could get up to 19 miles an hour. Could that potentially create some trouble? Perhaps. I think the bigger deal, though, is the injury to Godwin, the removal of Antonio Brown, and just whether Brady's relying on guys that obviously haven't quite been there as studs for him in the past. But this is all about the Eagles' run of the football. And if they can effectively, they can keep this a game. If they win this game, I guarantee you, it's because they had more than 35 carries on the ground, which is a really tough benchmark to hit. but that's what they're going to have to hit to keep this game in their hands. And finally, there's pressure on the Kansas City Chiefs offense tonight, because this Chiefs offense has not quite looked like the offense we know all season long, maybe outside of the two games against the Raiders. And here they are against a pretty good pass rush, T.J. Watt, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, and a Mike Tomlin defense that normally keeps games close in situations like this. The Chiefs offense is under scrutiny today.
Ball snapped on the near hash. They give Mahomes time for the end zone. He throws and it's caught. Touchdown! Kansas City, DeMarcus Robinson. On an outside, inside, outside, inside move. The Chiefs had time to get your Dino route for a touchdown on a triple move to DeMarcus Robinson.
I think you just have to bring a little bit different intensity. Obviously, you go through the same process that you would do every single week of the entire season. Because you want to treat every single week like, I mean, it could be your last. But you go through the week the same way. But when you get to that playoff game day, you have a little bit of different intensity, knowing that every play is critical. And it can really end your season by making a mistake. But at the same time, you want to be loose, you want to have fun, and you want to enjoy it. Because you don't know how many more of these games you're going to get in the playoffs. And I want to make sure I'm ready to enjoy all of them.
It would be a huge upset, one of the biggest in wild card history, if the Steelers pulled this game off. They are 12-point underdogs in this game. It is one of the biggest lines, if not the biggest line, in wild card playoff history. So the Chiefs should win this game by all accounts. However, again, the Chiefs offense has yet to really look like the Chiefs offense for long stretches of the season. So this is going to hang on the Chiefs defense to once again pull off a couple of big plays, sacks, turnovers, and position-changing plays. And they did that last week against the Denver Broncos in that huge hit and scoop and score, which completely flipped the momentum of the game and the scoreboard as well. Can that happen again? The good news for the Chiefs defense is that obviously Big Ben is limited at this point in his career, and the Chiefs should be able to open up a big enough lead in the first half so that they don't have to worry about these late-game heroics that we've seen Big Ben handle the last couple of weeks. But let's see, because Josh Allen just hung it on 47 points, the Patriots defense, and Joe Burrow, especially the first half, looked like a stud against the Raiders as well. Plus, waiting is Derrick Henry and the Titans. So the Chiefs, let's see if that offense can step up to where the rest of the AFC postseason contenders are right now on that side of the football today. Big time scrutiny at Arrowhead. And that's your coming in hot segment for this Sunday morning football edition. Those play-by-play calls courtesy of Bob Soci on the Patriots Radio Network, also Merrill Reese on Eagles Radio, and Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs Radio Network. When we come back, let's talk about the offseason coaching carousel. The Giants make a move this week. Could Jim Harbaugh want to come out of college to the NFL? And what about Georgia's elite defense losing its defensive coordinator to Oregon? It's all coming up here next as part of the Insiders. DA, Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Television Sports presents the National Football League.
You're locked in to Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio with your host, D.A. We ask those who are in the game for their thoughts on the game.
Congratulations, man. That's helpful.
It's time for The Insiders.
I'll knock you out.
Welcome back to Sunday Morning Football, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us today at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. It's Super Wild Card Weekend, continuing with an epic matchup between two legendary franchises. Jimmy G and the Niners head to Dallas for a showdown with the Dak and the Cowboys. The action starts today at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific with the NFL today. More action from the NFL's Super Wild Card Weekend coming your way today only on CBS. Yesterday, the controversial touchdown in the Bengals game is what a lot of people are talking about today, where very obviously there was a whistle that was blown before the play was over. And I think that the way this thing went down was that Joe Burrow came close to the sideline, nearly stepped out of bounds before throwing it, but did get it off. And then One of the refs blew the whistle there, saying he was out of bounds just before the ball was caught in the end zone. They conferred and realized they had made a mistake and that Burrow had not stepped out of bounds and did not want to take a touchdown off of the board due to referee mistake. I think that was their discussion. Do we want to replay this down, take a touchdown off of the board because we blew a play dead that should not have? And I think they thought if we replay this down, we become the source of controversy. So instead of becoming the story because we made a mistake, let the play stand and we move on like nothing happened. By doing so, though, because we can hear the whistle very obviously before the play is done, we realize now that they made a mistake, and that becomes the story. So I think the officials were trying to not be the story, but by trying not to be the story, they were the story. By letter of the law, that play should have been replayed. Apparently, though, once they made the decision on the sidelines that the play stands, when the whistle blew is not reviewable. That apparently is what the way that you go now. It's not reviewable. So ultimately, I would say this. The refs got it wrong. They should have replayed the down. However, I don't believe that decided the game. I know that the final score indicates it's a one-possession game, all that jazz, and obviously things are different if that's a field goal possession instead of a touchdown possession. However, that happens near the end of the second quarter. Man, the Raiders have a full half to play better football, and they just couldn't get over the hump in that second half. And if that's 3 instead of 7 on that drive, because they're well within field goal range there. At the end of this game, when the Bengals win by 7, they're still leading in that spot down the stretch, and Derek Carr is down inside the red zone and makes 2 big mistakes there. They clock it on first down, and then on fourth down, he doesn't end up throwing into the end zone. He's got to throw into the end zone. He has to throw into the end zone there. You know? So, ultimately, you know, I think there were plenty of chances for the Raiders to pull ahead and try to win this game even after this play. Although, undoubtedly, the refs got it wrong because they should have replayed that down by their mistake. It's time now for the Insiders, and we start by talking about some of these coaching decisions that will be made this offseason, including Jim Harbaugh. Will he leave Michigan to join the NFL? I spoke to his former tight end, Vernon Davis, who played in huge games for Jim Harbaugh, including a Super Bowl when he was with the San Francisco 49ers.
He can fit anywhere. I mean, that guy, look at the history and his track record of the things that he's been able to accomplish. I mean, most coaches don't have an opportunity to do that. It's in his DNA. He can go anywhere. You know, of course, we know him. A lot of people know him from his college days. But, you know, if given a chance to really have a long tenure in the NFL, I think he could really pull it off and win a lot of games.
Let's see if he really wants to come out of the college game to join the NFL ranks now. I have a tendency to believe that this is smart leverage for him because he just took a pay cut last year and then led his team to its best football season in many, many years. And so he is certainly looking for a raise, I'm sure, if he wants to stay at Michigan. In the NFL, would you go down that road again? Yes, he had success with the San Francisco 49ers. But as we've seen everywhere he's gone, he's difficult to work with, and it rarely, if ever, ends well. Are you willing to make that deal with the devil again? I'd be very hesitant on bringing Jim Harbaugh into my organization, knowing how many bridges he burns along the way. Here is Charles Davis, who was on the play-by-play call of the Bills and Patriots last night. Ian Eagle was calling the play-by-play. He was on the analysis role. And I spoke to him earlier in the week about the New York Giants firing Joe Judge when they did after those two seasons. Did the Giants make the right move?
I had high hopes for Joe Judge as well. I liked what he brought to the table. I liked the way he was approaching things. I thought the discipline factor, which could be an overused thing, as you and I both know, DA, where we go, discipline. Discipline doesn't always mean ranting and raving, okay? But I thought he was going to hold them accountable, do things the right way, et cetera. Well, we saw cracks in that as well. Where I think that Joe Judge fell off the map and why I say it's warranted have been his press conferences lately. Because a person with the plan about what he's planning to do is not looking to you and me, meaning media, for affirmation when he's making every statement. You make your statements and tell us what you're doing with your team, not such, 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 right? Such, 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 such. You got me? Such, 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 such. You understand? No, 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 no. You're the guy in charge. You're the guy in charge. You tell us why this is working, why it's going this way. And I do believe there's an element for the Mara family that wanted to bring in a new GM, say, let's see if you guys can forge a relationship and see if we can go forward. I don't know that with these pressers down the stretch, DA, that any top-level GM is not going to come in and say to the Maras, I get where you would like me to do that. I don't know that that works.
Joe Judge wasn't the only thing wrong with the Giants this season. That quarterback situation was a disaster. Obviously, Daniel Jones getting injured threw everything into another tailspin. The offensive line was gross. And the Giants just overall never made much of anything with Dave Gettleman overseeing that roster. But Joe Judge continuously showed that he seemed overwhelmed by the position of head coach of the NFL. He consistently seemed like he was sticking his chin out to fight with whoever would fight with him. And when you're in the middle of a losing season trying to build positive culture, that's not the way to do it. You're not looking to pick more fights. You're not looking to be defensive. You're not looking to lash out. You're looking at acknowledging some problems and trying to move forward. And I just think that Joe Judge was hired on a dream that John Mara had lost Bill Belichick as a former Giants assistant coach many years ago and always fancied trying to bring Bill Belichick back. And what he saw in Joe Judge was a tough-talking young guy in his late 30s coming from Belichick's staff and assumed, man, that guy's got the same stuff. But he didn't. And I'll tell you how you know he didn't. He had never been a defensive or offensive coordinator. So you were taking a huge risk in hiring a guy who was less than 40 years old. He was 38 when he got the job and had not risen above special teams coordinator and had coached under Bill Belichick, where every single one of the assistant coaches that came out of that coaching tree has fallen flat square on his face. The odds of Joe Judge working as a long-term solution was absurdly low. And the problem with Steve Tisch and John Mara has been they have hired the wrong guys every time. Replacing Jerry Reese with Dave Gettleman. Gettleman is a failure. Ben McAdoo, failure. Pat Shurmur, failure. Joe Judge, failure. The issue is their sense of hiring smart people to run football is so way off. They're not terrible owners. What they are is they're completely off on their internal direction. Their instincts are awful. And so you get what you get. And finally, here's Buck Ballew, who was the last quarterback to win a national championship at Georgia before Stetson Bennett just did it earlier this week. He's a longtime Atlanta Sports Radio host as well, and I asked him earlier this week about the fit of Dan Lanning, the Georgia DC, now moving to Oregon as the head coach.
Dan Lanning is something special. And I tell you, I'm a little hesitant to give out the term player's coach. But, you know, people think, well, he's soft and on the players. Well, that's not the case. He communicates so well with these teenagers, these young men, whether it's on the recruiting trail, selling the program, or whether it's on the practice field, the game time. I mean, here's a well-rounded football coach that has worked underneath a lot of the outstanding coaches in the game now, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, just mentioning two of them. I'm just concerned about the fit at Oregon. This is going to be a culture change for him going from the deep south up to the upper northwest. But I'll tell you what, they've got him an outstanding coach there. And look, I hadn't spent a lot of time out in Oregon, but it just seems to be the culture is so different. I'm not aware of him having a lot of contacts in the area. You know, your relationship with high school football coaches is so important. So he's going to have to hit the ground running out there.
That's interesting. Culture certainly is different, but boy, hard to pick a better guy right now than the guy that helped shut down Bryce Young on Monday night, the Heisman Trophy winner, because that Georgia defense was the true MVPs of the game. They were in Young's kitchen the entire night. They created the pick six, obviously, to cement the game. They nearly had the scoop and score in that first drive, and they were just phenomenal, flying into the football and being at their best when their backs were in the red zone. That's your insider segment. When we come back here on the show, we'll talk Vegas, today's three games, and tomorrow night's Monday night wild card game, Rams and Cardinals on the docket with our good friend Amal Shah from Vegas. He's going to join us to talk about the lines coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio, and Sunday Morning Football. Standing by right now, here's your headlines with Kevin Dexter.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Winners, whiners, wise guys. Every week we scour the NFL odds to see where you should plunk down your scratch.
I should bet.
Sunday Morning Football, making wagering fun again.
You win.
And a happy Wild Card Sunday to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us here on the show, our Vegas virtuoso this morning, and our good friend Amal Shah from VSiN, VSiN.com and VSiN Live, the sports betting network in Las Vegas. Amal, good morning.
Good morning, DA. How are you?
I'm doing great. Let's start with this Cowboys and Niners game because, you know, it felt like coming into the week, picking the Niners was, you secretly knew your football. Niners matched up well on the road, good defense. But, man, everybody's been saying that they are the road team to pick this weekend so that they're no longer really all that under the radar. So how do you assess all of the money that came in this week and the love on the Niners?
You know, for me, I look at it, this team has won 7 out of their last 9 games, and if you look at the 2 losses that they had against Tennessee, it's probably a game that Jimmy Garoppolo regrets in terms of that red zone turnover he had. Then he had the interception in the third quarter. The game against Seattle, they came within 4 yards of potentially tying that one up. So I think this team has been playing extremely well. They've gotten healthy. They're probably as healthy as they've been since week 1 of the season, and that's why I think you're seeing a lot of affinity for Dallas. Also, Michael Gallup being out, it hurts the big play threat of the Cowboys. I could go either way on this game. I took a smaller play on the over at 50.5. Yusher, the total's now sitting at 51. But I give a slight edge to San Francisco from a side perspective. I know it's kind of like that Alabama play a lot of people were on. I thought Georgia was the right side there. But in this game, I'm going to go with the road dog here. It might be the so-called square play. But to me, I think you have to take into consideration San Francisco when you look at them in terms of the way the running game is. Everywhere else, Deebo Samuel to me is an unbelievable player, one of the top playmakers in the NFL. And can they slow him down enough? And one of the things I like about Kyle Shanahan is if he's successful running the ball, he will continue to pound it, and then play action can be a factor. If they can't run the ball effectively, I think Dallas dominates this football game because then play action is not going to work as well. And I think if you're a Cowboy fan or you're a Cowboy backer in this game, you have to like your chances that Jimmy Garoppolo's got to beat you over 60 minutes.
That's the second game of the day, Niners against the Cowboys in Texas. The early game is Eagles and Buccaneers, which will kick off a little over an hour from now. Now, there was some weather in the forecast. It looks like there's a slight chance of rain, some precipitation over the course of this day, but maybe not so much. So what do you think about weather conditions there, field conditions, as the Eagles would love to run the football all day?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a challenge for them running against that Tampa front. You mentioned the weather. I was just looking at it before we came on. First quarter, about a 20% chance of rain, and then it reduces from there. Wind could be a little bit of a factor. You're going to have wind gusts in the 15 to 20 mile an hour range throughout the entirety of the game. We'll see how that plays a part. Generally speaking, wind is the singular most important factor when handicapping a football game from a total or side perspective, factoring weather into the equation. But I still think Tampa here is a more dominant football team. Remember when they played on Thursday night, the final score was 28-22. But I don't think that game was as close as the final score indicated. Tampa at one point in that game was up 28-7. The Eagles get a late touchdown. I don't remember exactly how much time was remaining, but they chose to go for two, and they end up losing that game by 6 points. And then you've got Jalen Hurts making his playoff debut here against a guy. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. You might have heard of Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
But I look at this team right now. They seem to get better and better. And, by the way, D, if you look at their record throughout the course of the year, they gave up one bad drive against Washington. They lost a road game against the Rams in, I think, week three, and then twice to the Saints. You talk about the most under-the-radar 13-4 team I can remember in a long time. This has got to be it. The defending Super Bowl champions, I know they have the injuries with Godwin and Fournette. That's a big factor here. But I think in this type of game, with Philadelphia wanting to run the football, I like Tampa and their defense to be able to get through in this one.
Eagles and Buccaneers coming up as the early kickoff. The Bucs are favored by a touchdown of that game. The total's at 47 at the moment. Niners and Cowboys, the second game of the day. Cowboys favored by a field goal. The total's at 51. Late game tonight at Arrowhead is the big line that we've seen all week long. The Chiefs favored by 12.5 points because nobody thinks the Steelers can really put up much points on a day against the Chiefs defense, which has been pretty good the entire season. What do you think? Is this going to be as much of a blowout as the odds makers have predicted?
I'm going to go the other way here. I'm going to take the Steelers and the points for a couple of reasons. Number one, one of my favorite angles in the NFL is anytime a team gets embarrassed. And Pittsburgh got completely embarrassed in a revenge game here now against Kansas City. We remember what happened a few weeks ago at Arrowhead. And, you know, remember, just take, for example, Jacksonville gets embarrassed by New England, gives up 50 points. And they turn around and beat Indianapolis. It's a great motivator in this league. And I think the one thing when you look at Pittsburgh, there's a ton of experience. This is a front four that can get after the quarterback with Watt and Hayward. They're going to have to do that if they're going to have a chance. If you allow Mahomes the time, he will absolutely surgically pick you apart. But 12.5 is a big number in a postseason game. I know yesterday we saw the domination by the Buffalo Bills last night. I don't think this game goes that way. I think if you're Pittsburgh, you've got to rely on Najee Harris running the football. And the Big Ben converting on third and shorts. And then the defense has got to get off the field. If you like Kansas City in this game, I don't have a problem with it. For me, it's just a simple 12.5 is a big number in an NFL game. Anytime a team gets throttled like these guys did last time around, I think there's an opportunity for Pittsburgh to bounce back and keep it within the number. I don't believe they win this football game. I think Kansas City faces Buffalo next week at Arrowhead. But I think this will be closer than most people think.
Looks like this could close as the biggest line ever in wild card round history. So you're right. Historically speaking, just hard to cover such a huge number. Right now, Chiefs laying 12.5. The total's at 46.5. And then finally, tomorrow night, Cardinals and Rams from Los Angeles. The numbers at the Rams favored by 3.5 points. It's tough to figure what Matthew Stafford you get, what Cardinals team you get. And so what's the known commodity on a pair of teams that have given us a lot of up and down over the course of this season?
Yeah, I think the one consistency you've had is this Rams defense. I think the way they've played throughout the course of the season has been outstanding. They've done a tremendous job. Jalen Ramsey's been outstanding in the back, and then we know what Aaron Donald gives you every day of the week. You know, for full disclosure, I've got the Rams to win the NFC before the season started, so I do need them to march on here, but I would not be surprised at all if Arizona pulls an upset. I think 3.5 is the exact right number. I wouldn't touch it from either side. If this number got to 4, I would take a look at the Cardinals here. I think it's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be a tight game. And whichever side wins, I really feel like it's going to win by a 3 to 4 point margin. It's going to come down to, as we saw yesterday in that Raiders-Bengals game, can you convert when you have the red zone opportunities? Is Murray the one that converts or is it Matthew Stafford? That's what it's going to come down to. And how much of an impact is it going to be on the Arizona offense without DeAndre Hopkins in a game like this, where a team who has been effective throughout the course of the season, and we saw a bit of a slide down the stretch, how will they kind of answer the bell? And Stafford has a lot of pressure on him. You know, they basically mortgaged the franchise. I think the Rams' next draft pick is in 2045. So they better win now if they're going to do anything in the current season.
Yeah, we'll be lucky to still have Sunday Morning Football on the air the next time the Rams actually have their first-round draft pick scheduled. It's tomorrow night, Rams and Cardinals. Right now the line, Rams by 3.5, and the total's at 49.5. You should follow Amal on Twitter for the latest thoughts on today's action of the rest of the college football season next year. The NFL season obviously still going, but he's awesome in all of it. At Amal Shah 1 on Twitter. Check out VSiN.com, VSiN Live on Twitter to check out their action there as well. The Sports Betting Network from Vegas. Amal, good to talk to you, buddy. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you.
All right, Amal Shah, our guest this morning here on Sunday Morning Football. So those are the numbers. Just so you know, I gave my picks of the Wizard of Odds on Friday's show. I had Joe Mixon with under 19.5 carries. That's where Vegas had it. He did go under. He carried 16 times yesterday, so that's a winner. I have the under on Eagles and Bucks today. Now, I thought that weather might be a little bit more of a factor than it ended up being. When I made the pick, it looked like that there was going to be more rain in the forecast, but still that number at 47. I don't think the Eagles are going to score much today. I think because they're going to run the football at least slightly effectively, because that's what they do better than anybody else, they will shorten the game to a certain degree. Plus, you take Godwin and AB out of the equation for Tom Brady. I just don't think there's a ton of points scored in this game. So I like the under in Bucks and Eagles, although I liked it better when it looked like the weather was going to be worse. And I also like the Steelers plus the points, as Amal just talked about. Now, earlier in the week, I found it at 13.5. And that's where I jumped on it. Nearly 2 touchdowns is hard for me to imagine. The Steelers with Mike Tomlin, Big Ben's final game, lose by that much, because the Chiefs offense just simply hasn't been nearly as devastating, as surgical as previous years. So I think this is a game where you could see a Chiefs 20-9 win. And, you know, you never really feel as though the Steelers are even in the game, but ultimately the Chiefs don't cover 12 or 13. This could be a 21-10 win by the Chiefs. And again, it's not like the Steelers were ever actually threatening to win, but you still cover the number. Or this could just be kind of an ugly slog of a game where it ends up being 17-10 or something like that, because the Chiefs offense just can't quite get it going. Let's see. But I think the Steelers plus the points is the play tonight. That will do it for us here on Sunday Morning Football. Thanks to Connor Green, executive producer, Anthony Pierno on the wheels of steel, and Kevin Dexter on your headlines. I'll see you tomorrow morning on the DA Show, bright and early, 6 a.m. to react to today's action. Enjoy your football, everybody.
You're in a 5-minute break. 4 minutes, 30 seconds remaining.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.